Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Welcome back to Going In Raw. It's the podcast, the wrestling one.
Yeah.
New stuff. We talk about stuff. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the new King of the Ring.
Uh-huh.
We're going to talk about the possible return of Hulkamania. Hulkamania.
Wrestle Hulkamania.
What a mania, brother.
Brother.
And in the gorilla position, we're going to debate who... What is the best finisher of all time?
Yeah, because they just banned the curb stomp, so finishers are on the mind of all wrestling fans the world over.
I love that curb stomp. That should be that, you know, given time, that could have been a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course finally we'll have Kayfabe Corner, which I guarantee I'm going to stump you today. I think you're going to go let me ask you something. When you're doing Kayfabe Corner, do you keep in your mind, do you try to eliminate things or do you go from your gut?
What do you mean by try to eliminate things?
Well, you know, when we get to like number 10 or 11 and I've already done a bunch of fakes, for example.
Yeah.
Do you know in your mind, well, he's already done a bunch of, like, do you approach it that way or do you honestly give your all to each name to see if you think it's real or fake?
I try to take each name individually.
Okay.
But also, I try to be conscious.
Sort of in your mind, right?
Yeah, that there's probably, you know, it might not be a straight 50-50 split between real or fake, but there's probably...
I always do a 50-50 split.
Okay, I generally do as well.
Okay, all right. I don't keep track. I mean, I would probably know... If you rattle off a ton of fakes, I'd probably know, okay, well, I have
you're
a good
due for a
to,
real one. Yeah.
I'm due for a couple reels, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's coming up later. I'm very interested because today it's a very special edition. It's a WCCW edition of Kayfabe Corner. So
this
I'm
is
interested.
a new addition to our Kayfabe Corner arsenal.
I got a couple curveballs for you. We'll see if you can figure them out.
Okay.
But first, it's time for... Yeah.
Raw cap.
There you go. this past Raw, we saw, last week's Raw, rather, we saw the return of the King of the Ring. Now, mm-hmm. I stated before, I really like this idea. I like that they gave us the prelims, the qualifying matches on Raw, and then new, kind of important material. You know, they're bringing back the King of the Ring, but it's not really a pay-per-view level thing, in my opinion. We're going to talk about that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But it is good enough to have make kind of a big deal on the network.
Yeah, I just wish they had hyped it up prior to a week before the actual event.
Yeah,
there was
no
mention of
that.
It until right around the last pay-per-view.
Yeah, it made me wonder if there was some sort of backstage. From what I read, they wanted to fill out the entire week of new programming because that was like sort of. They were busting out a bunch of new programming, mm-hmm. and so at the last minute, I guess from what I understand, they wanted to make it last longer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but they just decided we're going to go ahead and throw it all on that night. But either way, yeah, we wouldn't have gotten really advance notice. I mean, maybe if they had made it, it would have made a difference if they had made it last longer. But I don't know. I thought it was cool. It's like, whoa, King of the Ring's back, really? That made me want. That was sort of an impulse buy, if you will. Like, wow, they're doing King of the Ring right now. I have to tune in, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's happening? Cool.
Yeah, I always like King of the Ring because it always... A, I like tournaments. And
yes.
B, it's always a good platform to give someone a good push.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you look at, historically speaking, Triple H.
Yeah, Stone Cold.
Stone Cold, probably the biggest, recipient. Booker T was king
mm-hmm.
1 year.
Edge was King of the Ring as well.
Yeah, even if you don't get a big push, they will often, you know, run with some pretty fun story. I think did Savage? I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the Macho King.
The Macho King, yeah. And then you know Booker T did his Sheamus last year, or 3 years ago, five, whenever it was. They did it last. I think it was like 2010. I think it was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Sheamus was the king. So they always sort of make a thing out of it. It kills some time anyways. It kills a couple months while they get to refer to themselves as king. This year, of course, number one, I mean, did you think that the King of the Ring is worthy of its own tournament or did you like this on the network?
As I mentioned before, I think I would have liked it more if there was some build up to it.
Yeah.
Other than just kind of dropping it on us all and thinking, oh, that's cool. That's it seemed more like a novelty than something that
it
we
did,
should be excited about, you know?
Yeah.
That's more my problem with it. I don't mind having this kind of exclusive programming on the network. It's good for the network.
Yeah.
It drives people to it, hopefully.
I know. We're paying our $10 a month. We should be able to collectively, like, we share an account.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's out there for anybody who wants to know that.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with that arrangement.
I don't think so. Hey, we got the Lacey got the HBO Go. She ditched satellite radio and got HBO Go instead.
Oh man.
And she's like, it's a gold mine because I've got like now we can watch The Jinx.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't watch that show.
Yeah, all sorts of good stuff. So anyways, I really liked that they pushed it. This is the cool thing. I think it's probably a little premature to have Neville win the King of the Ring.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they made him look really, really strong, advancing him past Sheamus to be in the finals of the King of the Ring. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I don't really think that Bad News Barrett is the right person to win it. Granted, I've never been a Barrett fan. Mm-hmm. I think his presentation as a whole is a little too cartoony for my taste.
I like Barrett. I like him a lot.
I don't really find that interesting in the ring either. So, you know, I regardless of how they did it, I just wouldn't be that excited about a Barrett win.
Who would you have... The only other person I would have been kind of okay with, and it might have made some lick of sense, would have been Stardust.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only... Because, I mean, run down who else we have here. I do think that it was too soon for Neville. What's your take on that?
Yeah. Okay. It probably is, yeah.
I mean, I don't think he'd benefit from it much right now.
He would, but I feel like it'd just be like a quick shot in the arm.
Yeah.
And then it would just quickly fade and no one would care.
Ambrose doesn't fit.
No, it doesn't fit his character at all.
Was Ziggler even in it?
Yeah, he was.
At the beginning? He was okay. Yeah. He doesn't need it at this point. He's above it.
Well, I mean, he's no more above it than Barrett really is. Barrett's had plenty of opportunities to make himself a star. And either
Barrett always gets injured.
Yeah, either he gets hurt or he just kind of flounders and never leads anywhere. That's why I don't really feel like he's... I don't think he's necessarily the right guy to be the king this year.
See, I think he is. I honestly think... I think he's the only one who makes any sense besides Stardust. I think him and Stardust are sort of the same spot. Like, they sort of linger. Except I do like Stardust better than Barrett.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you do, too.
Yes.
But I actually do like Barrett quite a bit. And I think that is the thing with him is that he's... Something always holds him back. He either gets injured... Or he's not booked right. He just doesn't catch on. And this is the first time that he's really sort of... Since the Nexus, anyways. Because I think he was kind of hot shit with the Nexus.
Mm-hmm.
And they just booked that terror. They just booked the finish of that really bad. They tried to bring him back as like a bare-knuckle brawler guy. And nobody cared about that. And then the Bad News thing, which I think is actually really fun. I think when he was doing the Bad News stuff, I laughed. I thought it was very entertaining. I was like, okay, I'll be in on this. And I like Bad News Barrett. I think he's fine. I think if you look at the breakdown, though, I think he's the only one who could benefit. He was the IC champion. Daniel Bryan took that from him. He needs something now because they obviously want to do something with him. Mm-hmm. And I think being the king is a title you can bestow upon him that I don't think he's above. I think Ziggler has flirted with the main event scene so much that I think having him be King of the Ring... It would be something for him to run with, but I don't think he needs it. I think him and Sheamus are probably going to have a decent feud coming up.
Yeah.
If it's more of this... Look, neither of us are big Sheamus fans. There was a time when I was okay with him.
Well, hold on. You bought his theme song. You were a Sheamus mark.
I'm not sure why I bought his theme song.
Because you were a Sheamus mark.
Wasn't that ironically?
No.
Really?
No, you liked him.
I like that he comes out now. He hates little guys, and wherever he goes, blood seems to follow.
Yeah,
and I'm okay with that because he got split open pretty big on the tournament.
Yeah,
and so I don't know where I was going. Oh, I think him and Ziggler are gonna have a fine, which didn't need like the King of the Ring title. Like they didn't need to do anything.
This is pretty much the only reason I think Dolph could have used the King title. Going back to Survivor Series of last year when he was the final survivor,
yeah.
It seemed like he was on his way to bigger and better things.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of went nowhere. There was the whole angle where he and other members of Team Cena got fired. And once he came back, it just felt like all his momentum had just hit the brakes.
Right.
And, you know, he is over, and yeah, he's flirted with the main event in the past, but he still needs that. He needs something that to kind of put him over the hump, to put him into the main event, more or less, for the long haul. And I felt like this could have been that thing. So yeah, that's what I think Ziggler could have benefited from, being the king.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm happy with Barrett. I'm fine with Barrett. I agree to disagree.
Okay.
I'd have been fine with Ziggler. I mean, it's Ziggler. I just think that he needs to. What's going to happen with Ziggler? Is he going to crack the main event scene at any point?
Well, that was my whole point. I feel like if he were King of the Ring, then he could. That's his catapult. You know,
King of the Ring
and his angle, his gimmick kind of needs a little bit of needs to be refreshed a little bit.
He needs something.
Yeah.
Although I like, you know, but we always complain. You know, we always say, you know what? What's wrong with not worrying about the title? Just having really good, strong stories. And I think they've built a decent story with Sheamus and Ziggler, with Sheamus coming out just hating small people. And Ziggler's really not that small, but he's a skinnier guy, and he's sort of quick. How tall do you think Ziggler is?
6 feet max.
Okay.
I heard he only weighs about 180 pounds.
Okay.
So yeah, comparatively, he is small.
Yeah. If he's 6 feet, 180, that sounds right, yeah, because he's got some muscle on him. All right. Anyways, moving on. Other current events going on now in the WWE. I've become very quickly a fan of the Nude Day.
Yeah.
They're putting together a really, really fun tag team championship reign. So I like that.
Yeah. I've long been a fan of Big E since his debut.
Yeah.
And he's if you
good.
Follow him on Twitter, you'll know that he's a really sharp, funny guy.
He's a funny guy. Yeah. He's really sharp. Yeah. And, the funny thing, the thing that I like though, is that they have apparently instituted the Freebird rule.
Good,
and they've made mention of this on the show because they have, like, you know, alternating people defending it, and then they just seem to pass the, you know, the bronze pennies around whenever they're sort of on display. So it looks like that Freebird. I want to see more. What's a couple other three man tag? Who's doing nothing that could be in another three man tag team? Who could we add? Who would you want to add to Cesaro Kid to sort of flesh them out to be another three-man tag?
That's a good question. Team?
Who could be added to them? Who's not doing shit right now? Who could benefit from that? You know who'd be insane to see? And I know he's new and everything, but Neville.
Yeah, I just thought of that too.
If you threw Neville in with those guys, that would be insane.
Yeah, they'd put on some really good matches.
Because they're known for, I mean, they have a really good tag team chemistry. Mm-hmm. They do things that are different but complementary, and Neville could add like a whole new level to
them. Yeah.
Like Neville could add at a level. Who in NXT? Sami Zayn. Bring Sami Zayn to join Cesaro Kid.
Or Finn Balor.
Or Finn Balor, yeah. There you go. Looking forward to him showing up on the main roster coming up. One thing that I know I mentioned here in the notes also that I love is Kane's been getting a pop lately.
Yeah.
The people have been, him bouncing off of Seth Rollins has really given Kane a big babyface pop these days. Although he can't seem to win for nothing. I didn't watch all of SmackDown. SmackDown's kind of cool these days. They had Kane fight Roman Reigns in a match. That's a feud I wouldn't mind seeing.
I have a feeling we're going to see it, maybe.
I hope so, and I hope it leads to Kane. See, that's a great way to build Roman Reigns. Is if Kane starts out as corporate Kane and gets to a breaking point where at the pay-per-view or whatever they fight, like the next one, maybe at Money in the Bank or something, Kane comes back as Demon Kane. And that's a real test for Roman Reigns. Is if Kane was as powerful as he was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
If Kane comes out in the mask and just destroys Reigns for a couple of Raws, really freaks him out, and then Reigns has to face the Demon King.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. But he's getting a good baby face pop right now.
He is.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see for a guy who's been around as long as he has get that reaction.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Yeah. But he's, you know, whenever you put him on camera, he's really good at what he does. Yep. I mean, he's always a professional.
Well, him and Big Show are in the same camp in that respect, and that you can always count on them to do their job and do their job well.
Exactly.
They might not be, you know, exemplary at any one thing, but they kind of do everything pretty good.
So. Yeah. And Kane can be funny. I mean, so can Big Show, but Kane trying to restrain himself. It's like the Bruce Banner having to be Bruce Banner and trying to deal with it. It's that kind of thing. You know, he doesn't want to unleash the demon. I really like that. I always like how there's not really a whole lot of, like, how do I put this? Long-term storyline logic. Like, why was this guy once a demon from hell and somehow he can transition to a normal person with a suit and tie? Like, how does that make any lick of sense?
Yeah, it really doesn't.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, what does he do during the day? You know, like, back when he was Evil Kane, you imagine he's in some sort of pit, some sort of dungeon, some sort of nefarious place. And now, what? Like, why did he stop doing that? And now, what does he do during the day? Like, he probably just does what everybody else does.
Yeah, he probably just goes to the office and you know, engages in some water cooler talk about, you know, the last season of Mad Men. And
like, I never would have figured Kane, like, watching what he ate back in the day. And now, like, I imagine, yeah, I'd love to participate in the work. What do they call this? Potluck.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I got to watch my figure.
He's the guy that's organizing the office softball team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Triple H is gone, so I'm going to make the teams. I get Bray. Other big news sort of leading up now on the road to WrestleMania 32 is Hulk Hogan's been running his mouth, brother. Oh, let me ask you this before we get to Hulk Hogan.
What
do you think of the Damian Sandow thing?
Oh, his part from Raw?
I hope that's not... I mean, apparently that is going to be his gimmick now.
That he's just going to start imitating everybody else?
Imitates everybody. On SmackDown, though, he did run down Curtis Axel pretty fine. I fucking forgot what he called him. God damn it. I'll have to look it up. I forgot what he called him. But he actually had a pretty... Because, you know, when the ring announcer, what's-her-face, I forget her name, was announcing Curtis Axel. You know, 228 pounds, 6 feet, whatever. Here's Curtis Axel. And then Sandow calls him something else. It was funny. Like, but it just let me thinking, how long can this last?
Yeah.
Like, not long at all.
Yeah.
But if he continues to be clever, and if I guess if people pop for him, if he continues to be funny, then I guess they're just going to run for it long. And I just want to see the guy win.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to see him win.
I'm rooting for the guy big time, but I don't necessarily know if him just, you know, doing the annoying thing is the way to go.
Yeah, I think there's a way. If they booked him with a little bit of more intensity, like, he could do the funny thing where he's, like, mocking people.
Mm-hmm.
But if at the end of his match, whenever he wins, if he'd show some intensity, mm-hmm. like a little bit of anger,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little bit of resentment, that could go a long way towards legitimizing him as opposed to he's just comedy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, if he's going to get to the next level, which I think should be their goal with anybody, is to how can you put this guy in a position to succeed? You got to let him do something that's going to... Because every good champion has intensity.
Yeah.
You know, you need that. You can't just be the goofball guy who wins matches against lumps.
Yeah.
I love Curtis Axel. He reminds me of Hilton.
Yeah.
He just reminds me of Hilton. Because Hilton, whenever, like, I could just picture Hilton cutting a promo, and Hilton would be on the verge of laughing every time. And that's what I like about Curtis Axel, is that you can tell he's kind of on the verge of... Curtis Axel kind of makes himself laugh.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about him. Like that time at the WrestleMania pre-show when he walks up to the desk and he starts running everybody down. He was half laughing the entire time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was great.
That was great.
Anyways. Let's see here. So, yeah, brother, Hogan might be returning at WrestleMania 32. He talked to, I don't know who.
He was at a press conference in Australia.
Press conference?
At least according to WrestleZone, where I assume you got this information.
He said they want to try to break my indoor attendance record. He said AT&T Stadium in Dallas. Of course, he's referring to the Silverdome.
Yeah, WrestleMania 3. Silverdome.
Pontiac Silverdome, that's right. He said, so he talked to McMahon in the hallway and said, and obviously he's doing this in his, I really doubt he said this as Hogan, like in his Hogan thing.
You mean, he thought he said, let me tell you something, brother. in the hallway.
Because that's what, yeah, his quote here is, "So I stopped Vince McMahon in the hallway and said, 'Let me tell you something, brother. There's no way you're running WrestleMania next year without Hulk Hogan on the card. Whether it's for my last hurrah or it's my retirement match, or whether it's for my next run or whether it's just to beat whoever's got the WWE title and become the champion again.'" That's where this thing starts to go completely off the rails, yeah, because that's not going to happen.
No.
If you guys are in that stadium next year, I'm going to be there. And Vince McMahon shook my hand and said, "I look forward to it." He says, if it happened, I'd want to be the greatest match of all time. If it's the end of my career and a huge emotional send off, that would be great. You know what that means, of course. He wants to win.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even have to be. I think he's probably realistic enough. No, he's not going to win the title. But if it's his retirement match, he's going to win, which instantly means it's not going to be against The Undertaker.
Yeah, no.
Let's see. Or if it's another huge run for Hulkamania, that's just not going to happen. He says, "I'm thinking very positively about getting back
see,
in the ring."
There's no way he's going to have another run. None.
No, he's not going to have another run, but I could see him having one last match. Who do you think it would be against? I'm
John
saying Cena.
Cena. Yeah.
It's have to be Cena, have to right? Be Cena. Cena puts over Hogan?
Sure.
You think so?
Yeah.
Cena do that. Yeah. Cena didn't give a shit. His head's in Hollywood now. He sees all the people saying, "Oh, you're good in Trainwreck. You're going to be good in Trainwreck. You can be for reals in Hollywood." Cena's trying to figure out a way how to dump the cut WWE gets from all his Hollywood money. That's what he's doing right now. He's with his lawyers. He's like, how can they not see my cut, their profit? Anyways.
Yeah.
Do you want to see that, Hogan? That, it would be cool. That's another reason for us to go.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun seeing the NWO run in during the Triple H Sting match. So that'd be fun.
It would hurt.
Yes.
Watching a Hogan match.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, just the one bump he took at WrestleMania this year.
Yeah,
you know, that hurt to watch.
That was a pretty big cringe fest. Not for how it just you hurt for everybody.
Yeah,
when they're doing their shit.
Yeah.
Oh man. Any other news of the day to talk about?
No, that's it.
They're talking about Samoa Joe coming over to NXT.
Mm-hmm. That'd be neat.
That'd be cool. They say he's about basically the same size as Kevin Blowens.
Mm.
Kevin Latrine.
Yeah.
So a couple of fat guys going at it, rolling around in the ring. Yeah, Twinkie match. What's the hostess? I'm thinking of the Susie Q's. That's Susie Q and Samoa Joe. Susie Q should be his valet. Samoa Joe and Susie Q. Such a good ring to it.
Oh goodness.
A couple of fatties. Work out. Lose, like Kevin Owens, I don't know how he's gonna play on the main roster. He's so mumbly.
Yeah.
He's been doing this for 15 years and he cuts a promo like he's just that he cuts a promo like he's still a backyard wrestler.
He does it well though. I mean,
yeah, he does it good. He's convincing.
Yeah, and if mumbling is part of the package, then so be it. As long as he's convincing and into it, it separates himself from everybody else.
Yeah.
So.
And that is true. He has, I mean, he definitely has the relatability thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has that going for him. So, I don't know. I like my wrestlers. I like my wrestlers jacked. I like Ryback. I want him to be convincing. I want him to convince me. I'm not sure. I can't see. Although, you know what? Him fighting Alex Riley on NXT went a long way to sort of being more convincing.
Oh, yeah.
Because Alex Riley is kind of a more traditional looking wrestling guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so seeing Kevin Owens throw with a guy like that as opposed to like a small guy like Sami Zayn kind of legitimizes him a little bit to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, time for the gorilla. Going in Raw these days, our weeklies. Or just lead up to the kayfabe corner.
Oh, absolutely.
That's all we really want to get to.
We just want to fill a half hour to get to kayfabe corner because that's what we really want to do.
Exactly. I love the names I got this, so I'm going to load them up real quick. I love the names that I got. Hold on. Here we go.
But anyways, while you do that, gorilla position this week. Since
best finisher ever.
Yeah, but yeah, since the WWE apparently banned the curb stomp,
boo.
We wanted to reminisce, to look back at what we consider the finest finishers ever.
Absolutely.
So our short list here, I'm going to start from the bottom up. Five-star frog splash. A lot of people have done the frog splash, but I think we'd both agree that Rob Van Dam has the finest frog splash.
Absolutely. Although, I love that move, but to me, his most jaw-dropping finisher is the Van Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
He goes through. It's maybe not as pretty as the five-star frog.
It's more impressive from an athletic standpoint.
It is, because he
jumps flies across the ring.
Absolutely. The pedigree. On anybody else, I'm not sure the pedigree is all that great.
No, it's not.
But it's Triple H has bullied his way into making the pedigree a legitimate finisher. Mm-hmm. It's ugly. It's awkward. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem all that devastating.
Mm-mm.
But when he does it, he's convincing with it.
Yes.
I liked when Randy Orton busted it out.
Yeah.
For storyline purposes, it was awesome.
Yeah.
But I would never, nobody else is ever going to want to use the pedigree as a finisher.
No.
I also like that he kept the name pedigree for that long.
I know. After he was the blue blood.
Yeah. After like DX. Once he got to DX, it really made sense to call it something else. But what else here? The leg drop.
Yeah. Hogan's leg drop.
Arguably the most devastating of all these finishers.
Yeah.
Because it felled Andre the Giant.
And so many more.
So many others.
Only
one
person kicked out during his first WWF run.
Yeah.
Sid. And it's only because he had to because someone else screwed up.
That's so true.
Because someone else was supposed to run into the match and break up the pinfall, and they didn't come, so he had to kick out of the leg drop.
Contrary to popular belief, it's not because Sid is the master and ruler of the world. That might play into it. Let's see here. The Razor's Edge.
Yeah.
Cool because, again, kind of cool because of Scott Hall. I think Sheamus did this move.
Yeah, he did for a while.
And it didn't look nearly as good.
No, but it seems hard.
It does. It seems very difficult to do.
Because I know towards the end of Scott Hall's WCW run, he couldn't do the pick him up like powerbomb style.
Yeah.
He had to kind of pick him up off the turnbuckle in an already standing position. So it seems like a difficult move to pull off.
Yeah, you have to be top heavy, and you have to have a strong base, I guess. You just have to be strong
altogether. Yeah.
It was always really cool with him, though. Anything Scott Hall did was cool, mm-hmm. because Scott Hall was one of those dudes who seemed like legitimately like kind of a scary guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not Scott Steiner's, not Scott Steiner scary, but like this guy, he looks like a what was Scott Hall had like just really he had like charisma.
Yeah, that's what it was.
He had just crazy charisma.
He had tons
charisma.
Of charisma, and he knew how to portray his character.
Yes, exactly. He seemed like he wasn't necessarily even playing, even as Razor Ramon, where it was obvious that he was playing a character, there was something legit about him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, there's something to be said about somebody who coming out with an accent like this. That sounded more like Carlito Cool.
Yeah.
I do it more to get him in cool. What is it? I spit in his face. Of anybody who isn't cool, I don't ever got that.
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
Let's see here. The Styles Clash.
Yeah.
I have a shirt waiting for me in my cart at Pro Wrestling Tees. I'm this close to getting one for you as well.
No.
A Styles Clash. But you'd have to wear it.
Why?
Because it's a gift from me to you. So you would have to wear it.
Would I have to wear it out in public?
Yeah, on one of our shows.
Mm.
At least.
Mm.
Styles Clash.
Mm-mm.
If you tuck your neck in like every wrestler is trained to do from day one on virtually every move that is performed, you will break your neck.
Yeah, this is probably legitimately one of the most devastating finishers there is.
It goes against every intuition to hold your jaw out.
Yeah.
And to bend your neck back
as
opposed to tucking it in. It goes against everything when you're getting a move put on you.
Yeah.
But if you don't do that, you will die.
Well, you won't die. You'll break your neck.
You'll get fucked up, that's for sure.
Yes.
It's like that time you were put in the general practitioner.
Yeah, that hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Because you didn't do it right. Has your assertion always been that Jeff is not a safe worker?
Well, that instance, it turned out he wasn't.
He needed to protect his opponent. Let's see here. A sharpshooter. The sharpshooter. Sharpshooter is always like my favorite submission.
Yeah, move. It was kind of, I think it's mine too. That's why it is the lone submission representative on this list.
Well, historically speaking, what is more devastating, this or the figure four leg lock?
Probably the figure four, I would guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, the figure four, all you can do is turn the other guy over and it reverses the pressure. And you can't do that with a sharpshooter.
We talked about Stone Cold's
podcast, listened to it together.
Although we did listen to it together, that's right. It didn't make a lick of sense. Man, did you? I think you mentioned this earlier, and I thought it might have been an old one, but they have a two. He has a two-parter with Shane Douglas.
Oh yeah, I told you about that one.
Yeah, that's up now, and I started listening to it, and immediately started talking about Shane Douglas's previous bout with OxyContin addiction.
Ooh,
yeah, I think it's pretty heavy. So anyway, it's a good listen so far, though. I haven't listened to the entire thing. I was listening in my car yesterday while I was eating a pizza slice from Costco. It was a huge...
Why were you just sitting in your car eating Costco pizza?
I don't know, man.
Why didn't you sit at the bench that's in front of... Was.
I don't like doing that. There's people around. I went in my car. Because this is the thing. I got a bunch of... Because Lacey wanted a Polish dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a Polish dog, a couple of stuff for the kids, and then a slice of pizza for myself. And I thought it was going to come in a little to-go thing.
No, they put it on a plate.
With tinfoil on top of it. I'm like, well, I'm not going to go all the way home just sitting here with this pizza in my car seat. And so I went to my car, turned on the podcast, and just ate my pizza.
Okay.
Because if I'm just sitting on the bench, I'm a lonely guy, and I don't have my podcast playing.
Okay. Okay.
The Tombstone Piledriver.
Yes.
I call it the Tombstone. The Tombstone Piledriver. Again, another highly effective move.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just a regular piledriver in general. Very devastating moves.
Yes.
Like, if you fuck that up, you fuck the guy up.
Yes.
Big time.
Yes.
The DDT.
Yeah.
I love the DDT.
Yeah, me too.
I've never felt it was finisher worthy, though.
Well, you have to go back to...
you have to go back to, like, Jake the Snake.
Yeah, the early days of his career in the WWF in the late 80s, mid-late 80s, when it was, you know, an absolutely devastating finishing move.
And then, of course, I mean, if you look at the mechanics of it, if you look at what it actually does, it should be a legitimate finish.
Yes.
You literally just take all your body weight, ram the guy's head into the ground. Mm-hmm. That should be it. Raven used it effectively in WCW.
Even flow DDT.
The even flow DDT.
And Tommy Dreamer used it in ECW, and Dean Ambrose is using a DDT variant now.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
The double underhook DDT.
Correct.
Is that what it's called?
I believe so, okay. Yes. I mean, I think he calls it something else.
Yeah, Dirty Deeds. Dirty Deeds, but his original Dirty Deeds was something else.
Oh, was it really?
It was like a frontward DDT.
That's interesting. Let's see here. Probably my second favorite, I guess. We're going kind of in my favorite order of like my favorites kind of here in this last two. Jackknife Powerbomb.
Yeah.
Again, one of the most devastating maneuvers, and it's one of the most impressive looking ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely the one with the most, I would say, flair to it.
Yeah, you remember when Nash jackknifed the Giant in WCW?
I do. That was insane. That was a jaw-dropping moment. That was a true OMG moment.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think we all said, I think we were all watching at the same time. We all said, oh, my God. Just like that. And then, of course, we have the Ace Crusher.
And all his variants.
All his variants. The RKO, the Diamond Cutter. The 3D. I think Tommy Dreamer has one of his own. And then, of course, the Stone Cold Stunner.
Yes.
Which is my personal favorite finishing move, perhaps, of all time.
See, and I prefer the Diamond Cutter / RKO version, the full body laying down version.
See, the Stunner is just so... What is the difference between the two that I'm trying to think of here? What is...
Here's what I like about the especially the RKO. Because DDP didn't do this quite as much. Because the RKO can literally come out of nowhere. There's no setup move necessary to do it.
That's
most
true.
Of the other ones, there's some sort of move that precedes it that has to happen before they can hit the finisher. But with the RKO, Diamond Cutter, Ace Crusher, there's nothing that needs to precede it. It can just happen at any time, and it makes the move all the more exciting. And I would argue devastating.
That's why I like the Stunner, though. Is because you get that moment of realization in your opponent that, oh my God, I'm bad thing is about to happen. And to me, that's more terrifying, because if you just get it out of nowhere, it's like getting shot in the head. You just don't know what happened.
Well, no, I think the opposite is true. Is you know it's gonna, like the RKO, you know it's going to come at some time, but you never know when it's going to happen.
Right.
So just the whole course of that match, you're worried about the RKO happening. Mm. Whereas the Stunner, you don't have to worry about till that kick to the gut happens.
Yeah, and it, with a kick to the gut. Has anybody ever interrupted the stunner after the kick to the gut?
Well, I'm sure, yeah.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to remember like a specific instant. Get kicked in the gut. Yeah, you have time to react to it, mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah. I don't know. That stunner was always so intense, though. It was just, there was something so fluid about it. Like, if Stone Cold had utilized the traditional, like, the Diamond Cutter RKO version, it wouldn't have been as iconic as his
stunner. No, the stunner fit his character more so than an RKO or Diamond Cutter would.
Because it's a big FU mm-hmm. to the gut first, mm-hmm. and then sometimes he would even stop and give him the fingers.
Yeah.
The middle fingers, and then do the stunner.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a big fan of that stunner.
Well,
I hate that John Cena does it now.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
So I don't like when he does it. It's ugly.
Yeah.
When he does it, it's just dumb.
Yeah.
And he does it off the rope, which people seem to like, and I can't stand that. It's ugly.
Yeah. It's not an attractive move.
It looks goofy.
It does.
Like somebody just got into the ring and started goofing around. Like... Let's come up with a finishing move. It was stunner off a rope.
Well, I think we can agree that the Ace Crusher and its variants is undoubtedly...
Absolutely.
...the greatest finishing maneuver in the history of wrestling.
Of all time.
Without question.
Without question.
No argument. We need two more. We need our second and third place finishers.
Oh, okay. I'd say number two. I'd give it to the Jackknife Power. I would say it's between the Jackknife and the Tombstone.
Okay. Well, we'll say those are two and three then.
I think so. I think Jackknife is number two. Tombstone, because it's a little too awkward. Jackknife is very impressive. Tombstone makes it look like Tombstone. People get hurt with.
Yeah.
And it's always like a oh god, and because they sort of not banned it, but they just sort of limited its use.
Yeah.
To big moments.
Yeah.
The powerbomb is always just the powerbomb was always the best move to use in the video games. I think.
Yeah.
That's what it is about the power bomb. I always love the power bomb. Bring the guy up, slam him down.
Yeah,
I got nothing's worse than that. No. Slam down on your back.
No, that's a good move.
Yeah. Time for Kayfabe Corner.
Yeah, finally.
All right, we got to the part of the show we like. All right, here we go. Kayfabe Corner. This is where I toss Larson 12. I don't know where we got 12 from.
The first time we did it, you just had 12 names.
I had 12 names.
That's why.
Half a real, half a fake. And you got to figure out which one's real, which one's fake.
Okay.
Number one.
Okay.
Lance Von Erich.
So here's the Von Erich family is pretty fake.
You're saying fake?
Yeah.
Real.
Oh, darn.
Lance Von Erich was the fake Von Erich, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right.
I forgot about that.
Number two, Ricky Vaughn.
That's Charlie Sheen's character from Major League, fake.
Real.
Really?
And in fact, that was the name, a different wrestling name, used by the same guy who used the name Lance Von Erich. Same person.
He was a fan of Major League, huh?
I guess so. Lance the Great. Lance the Great.
I'm going to say real and say it's the same guy as the preceding two.
It's fake. But he did go under the name The Fabulous Lance. And so I just changed it.
You bastard.
Okay.
All right, I'm so far.
Oh, crap.
What?
The next one is Fabulous Lance. I just told you.
Real. That's one for me.
That's one for you. Bobby Jaggers.
Fake.
Real.
Damn it.
WCCW. June Bug Von Erich. There are a lot of Von Erichs.
Fake.
Very good. Fake.
If you had, you shouldn't have said there's a lot of Von Erichs.
No, just in general, there were a lot of Von Erichs.
I know, yeah. But if you saying that was a tell.
Oh, was it? Uh oh. All right. You got two.
I have two.
Wait, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw this doesn't count because I didn't write it down. Lacey Von Erich.
Oh, that's real.
Yeah, she's wrestling today. Yeah. Figured you know that. Yeah. The Beauty, Terrence Garvin.
Are these all WCCW?
Yes.
Okay. They're either all WCCW or your fantasy WCCW.
Yeah, exactly. Correct.
What was it again?
The Beauty, Terrence Garvin.
Real.
Very good. Surprising that you said real, because there was already a Jimmy Garvin.
Yeah.
And so why are there two Garvins? I don't know. It's WCCW. Yeah, pretty much. It's weird. It's all weird. Red Bastion.
That sounds too out there to be fake. Red.
So what's your answer?
Red Bastion.
Red Bastion.
Real.
Very good. Real. Willie Funk.
Fake.
Very good. Wow.
How many more do you have?
Three more.
Okay.
Billy Gahan.
Billy Gahan?
Yeah.
How do you spell the last name?
G-A-U-G-H-A-U-N.
Real.
Fake. There is another Gahan.
Oh, okay.
And I think he spelled his name different. Glover Kirkland.
Oh, that's a good name.
That is a good name.
Real.
Fake.
Damn.
Kirkland.
No, I know.
Costco. No, I know. Costco brand. Because I went to Costco to get, because when after your barbecue, Lacey was like, we should get some of those Costco dogs. I'm like, I agree. So I went there to get some. But Costco was a mess. So I was like, I'll just buy some from the counter instead of getting some to barbecue.
Yeah.
Last one.
Okay.
Simon Buster.
Simon Buster.
Yeah.
Real.
Fake.
Damn it. I got five.
You got five? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Man, what a rip. Damn it. I wish I had not told you Fabulous Lance.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't have done that.
What a bummer. So four with an asterisk. For five, or five with an asterisk for four. That's Kayfabe Corner.
And that's Going in Raw.
And that's Going in Raw for this week. Thanks for tuning in. Next week, we'll be back.
Yeah.
And it'll be my turn to run the Kayfabe Corner gauntlet.
Yeah, I'm going to stump you big time.
Big time.
You're going to get three.
I'm looking eight.
I'm going to... there is no warning that you were changing things up to include WCCW.
You said we could do whatever we wanted to.
Well, when I said let's include WWF and ECW, there was some warning in advance of that.
Oh, I thought we were allowed to do whatever.
No.
Okay.
We are now, though.
Oh, shit.
So, okay. No heads up, no warning. I'm getting obscure.
Oh, God. All right. Well, you know, this whole thing, like, it's not like we really know. It's all just, it's really how well do we know each other.
Pretty much.
Is this something that he would come up with, or is this something that's so weird it'd be real?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, that was a WCCW edition. Next week, or 2 weeks from now, I might do another WCCW edition. WCCW is just chock full of great shit.
Yeah. I'll have to look into that then.
It really is going to be five more Von Erichs on the thing. Name the Von Erich.
I know.
Yeah, is the Von Erich real or fake?
I know. That's what it should be.
Exactly. That was my favorite story in WCCW. That Ricky Von guy. He was a local Texas legend. I'm sorry, a local Dallas high school football legend.
Mm-hmm.
And when they brought him in as Von Erich, I think David Von Erich was like, no, we don't want that to happen because everybody knows, like, that's when people started to realize that the Von Erichs are kind of full of, or wrestling was like kind of fakeish because like, we know he's not a real Von Erich.
Yeah.
I thought you guys were real.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, yeah, I remember that from the documentary.
Yeah, it was a great documentary.
It was.
All right, well, we'll talk to you guys later, and yeah.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.